Hi, K-Watchers. It's Leanne.
Hi, everyone. It's Juliet. Welcome to the K-Watch Party.
Today, we have Mr. Plankton episodes 3 and 4. With a bag of cash in hand and new outfits on, Hejo and Jamie are on the move. Potential dad number one was a bust, but will number two be the real one? Let's find out. Good morning, Juliet. How are you?
We're alive. I was worried that yesterday was going to be the apocalypse. We were going to be swept away, but here we are. Here for another day.
Yeah, we got a tsunami warning here in the Bay Area. There was a big earthquake, and actually a 6.0, which is a massive earthquake, a few hours from here. And then we just, all of our phones start blaring. I was in a conference room with people who were visiting from out of town, and all our phones just went wong in the middle of a meeting. From my 9th floor office, we have a view of the Bay. And so it was like a Michael Bay movie. Like, we can see Alcatraz from our windows. Yes. And so we're just waiting for the tsunami wave to wash over Alcatraz. It did not happen.
It did not happen.
Was it that big a deal for you?
Well,
we all just let it like fly. We were just like,
so okay, I thought it was no big deal. I was out on a walk and I'm talking to my cousin on the phone and I get the notice. I look at it and I just ignore it because we're on a hill. I mean, we're close to the coast, but far from the ocean.
Right.
I gave it no mind. And then there was a guy across the street that I saw out of the corner of my eye. I had turned a corner walking uphill. Like, we're going like steep hill. Mm-hmm. And he starts sprinting. And then he says, did you get the alert? And I said, yeah, but we're just so high up. I feel like I didn't take it seriously. And he had terror in his eyes.
Really?
And he's like, we need to get cover. So he starts sprinting. Then there's all these landscaping guys working around, working on the street. He's telling all of them, you guys need to go home. Go inside. And I just, the image that's burned in my head is he turned back to look at me with terror in his eyes, like I was the biggest fool he's ever met. Nice knowing you, lady.
Yeah, yeah. Good luck.
Yeah. And what was really funny is behind us was a view of the city. So you can see tall buildings. And then I kind of was like looking around like, oh, am I about to get swept away?
Oh my God.
You know, as I see all the buildings come crashing down, the wave is going to come for me. And I was like, this is silly. But then I'm talking to my cousin and she's like, you need to go home. She was taking it more seriously than I was. So then I get home and then we get an alert that says the tsunami warning has been canceled.
Yeah. It was like high panic. I got a lot of texts within a 10-minute span and then all of it just deflated. It's so Californian. To be like, oh,
there's a wave coming.
There's moisture.
It's raining.
In the air. Yeah, I'm glad we survived. I mean, really, what we need to worry about is the big earthquake.
Yeah, and I truly believe that most of us are not prepared.
Oh, 100%.
Because not. I have no idea what I should be doing.
Do you have an emergency stash of food?
Well, yeah, we have lots of food at my house.
But that's just your normal day to day.
We don't have an emergency stash of food. We have like an emergency kit that I got from my donation to NPR.
You get those wind-up radios from NPR? For the pandemic, I bought a huge box and just filled it with just cans of...
Just canned goods.
Canned goods, granola bars, and you know, these types of things, and a lot of water, but all of that spoils.
It does. You have to... Stay on top of it.
Yeah. So it's been since pandemic. So it's been 4 years. I'm pretty sure I just need to toss it all, right?
Toss it.
In fact, that actually should be a business idea. A replen box. A replen emergency box.
Yeah. I know that's one celebrity started something like that. But I think the idea of like replenishing every few years, like almost as if it's a subscription, that would be wonderful.
Yeah. But that is a lot of waste.
Well, you get an alert a month ahead and be like, eat all that food.
That's true.
Have a canned goods party.
Yeah.
That reminds me, I have a picture of you, maybe the first week of the pandemic, you and I went to Target together and we went down the toilet paper aisle and there was terror in your eyes because, and that's the picture I took of you because there was nothing left on the shelves and you looked back at me like, we're going to have to use our hands.
It got real in that moment when there was no more toilet paper at Target. In a dystopian apocalyptic world, we'd be dead. We have no survival skills.
Nope.
I mean, I wear contacts. Like, I just like those of us who wear contacts.
Right. We won't even be able to see anything in front of us.
We're like Piggy from Lord of the Flies. Once our glasses are cracked and gone, we're donezo.
Yeah.
We're dead. That's actually the biggest regret of mine of not getting LASIK is that in a dystopian future, I won't be able to see. Like, I could have gotten perfect eyesight and lived forever. that'll be the reason that's going to take me down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But would you want to live forever in that world? Meh.
I know. I do watch a lot of these dystopian movies and read these books, and I'm like, why are you sticking around?
Right. Like The Last of Us.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. The cordyceps are roaming the dark corners. Yeah. Like, why survive? Yeah.
No one you love is left. Mm-hmm. There's no resources left. Yeah. You're like, what is the point? You're going to hold on to your life that dearly? Add that to the state of the world currently. The news has been crazy.
This guy who got shot in New York, the United CEO. Healthcare CEO.
Right.
That you can escape authorities for this long after such a brazen attack. I mean, this single shooter walked up to the CEO of United Healthcare outside of the Midtown Manhattan Hilton, shot him in the back.
In the back.
Got on an electric bike and just biked away. That fool was like at Starbucks minutes before.
Well, see, this is the benefit of being a white man. Mm-hmm. Because they all look like, you know, and this guy on TikTok, he actually does look like him in terms of like hair color. I think facial features are similar. He's like, guys, it's not me.
But I have to say, hot take, the guy is pretty hot.
Oh, God. Here we go. So, okay. Last week it was shooter. I love a guy who has a bat. And this week it's going to be I love a guy, a single shooter.
With a silencer. He uses a silencer, which is...
Well, assassin I'm so level curious stuff. To see what is going to unfold from this, because my first instinct was, did he hire someone to kill himself?
Oh, why?
Because he's been under investigation by the DOJ.
Has he?
Yeah, for insider trading.
Oh.
There's like some suspicious activity happening within his family, it seems.
Oh, no. I mean, RIP. Yeah, like, RIP. It is very unfortunate. Nobody wants this to happen. But you're spinning it into a K-drama right now.
Yeah. It sounds like a K-drama.
And the bullets had denied. Right. I mean, really dramatic stuff. They had
words etched into the bullet casings. I find that that's like somebody's writing a movie script.
I know. But I did read in the New York Times, they asked a bunch of investigators, like, do we think this is a hitman? Was this an assassin? And they're like, no. Assassins leave no trace.
Right.
And actually, they're also saying that hitmen actually aren't really a thing. Like, unless it's... gang related.
Unless you're in the USSR.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, we know how they do it there. They poison them right. with their food. They're not going to be shooting you in the street. So anyway, yeah.
Anything else going on with you?
I went to a Warriors game last night. It was a pretty dismal game. And so to make it more fun, I was there with my coworker and we made a bet to say an over under like total score for the night. Because it was just so low scoring. So I did some like real fast mental math, some real girl math. And I was like, okay, let's do 192. He picked over, I picked under, and the loser had to take a shot. And so I texted my husband this bet and he texted me back. He was at home. He said, who picked that line? It's way too low. And I was like, oh, I did. And I picked the under. Turns out the game ends 192 what? On the dot. No. So we both took a shot.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So I feel like I need to go buy a lotto ticket today because I called it right on. So that's goodbye, world. I'm going to win the lotto. If I won the lotto.
Yeah. Oh, have you seen this trend where like if you won the lotto or if you like became, you know, very rich, you wouldn't know, but there would be signs. What would be your sign? Like, how would we figure out that you had become very wealthy?
I'd say just mansion.
Really?
A McMansion on the top of the hill with a pool and tennis courts. That's where I'm going. What about you?
I saw something where someone's like, this is how you know people are wealthy. You go to their house and their fridge is stocked full of all the drinks you can imagine.
Oh, that's
you know, they've got not just the sparkling drinks, they've got seltzers, they also have all the wines and the, you know, like, yeah. And then you walk in, they're like, what would you like? Right. We have an assortment. And I just went to a friend's house who had that. And I was like, oh, you rich.
Oh, you like European seltzer water. Yes. Rich.
I'm usually like milk or water. Which one would you like?
You used to have like a little college style fridge in your backyard and be like, yeah, if you want bubbly water, you got to go outside. Yes. And take it from that tiny little fridge.
Well, hey, you know, we used to have, that was our dedicated seltzer fridge.
So would yours be the water?
No, it's a hard one.
It's a tough one. I mean, like some women would say, you know, the Birkin.
Yeah.
Or something very statusy that they've been eyeing, wanting for a long time.
I think my face. Ooh, my face would look tight. One. I would be getting all the treatments regularly.
You'd be just flying around the world getting all the treatments. We'd never see you. And then when we do see you, we wouldn't be able to recognize you.
In fact, have you seen all of these celebrities like Lindsay Lohan, Christina Aguilera?
They look fantabulous. Oh my God.
People are dying to know who the plastic surgeon is because just you compare them to 10 years ago and they have reverse in age.
Yeah. It's like they got a magic wand. Like filter, like a real life filter. Face. Yeah.
A real life blur.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where that's a sign of, you know, you're lotto rich is like, you know, the name of that doctor, you know, right. Like it's a, if you know, you know, kind of thing. It's like the secret countries that only rich people know about. And that's where they vacation. Yeah. I'll take the McMansion back too. I want my face. Yeah.
That's right. Youth. I'll live in a small house, but I want my face to look tight.
I will buy youth. I say this because my in-laws are coming to visit. And so that requires me to just clean my house. And there is just so much shit. I have very little storage in my house. Yes. It's just like, so things just get stuffed into corners. Oh, yeah. I'm like, if I could just have 14 more closets. Like I walked into my friend's kitchen one time and I opened a drawer and it was empty. And I was like, bitch, how dare you show me an empty drawer? This is the most offensive thing I've ever seen is an empty kitchen drawer.
Or, you know, we could just stop buying so much shit is the other thing.
Yeah, no, our 100-year-old houses.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, what did these people do back in the day? I'm always like, one, how did they use a toilet? Because we have two toilets in my house, and I think one was an addition. So there was
one toilet,
three or four bedrooms and one toilet.
Your garage, too, was meant for a horse carriage.
Oh, for sure. It was a horse stable.
Right. Because your driveway is so tight that you can barely get one car on it. Right?
It's not for cars.
It's not a modern house.
No.
Yeah,
we have no closets. And the closets we have are probably meant for a baby to sleep in. Mm-hmm. You know?
Right. Yes, the maid. There are a lot of houses in this neighborhood that were built 100, 120 years ago that have maid's quarters.
Yeah, we do have maid's quarters in our house. It's the only area of our house that's uninsulated.
Mm.
Quite sad.
Well, we are definitely rambling on longer than normal today.
I saw some of our friends over the weekend. You could not make it to the dinner. And one of the friends' husband apparently said that our intros are starting to get really boring. Especially because we don't make fun of our husbands anymore.
Name names. Who was it?
You know who it was. But I was like, we cannot get in any more trouble from this podcast, okay? No, it's not bringing in any money. And on top of that, we cannot get in trouble for making fun of our husbands.
Although the other day, my husband and my daughter were on the computer and he just randomly goes to me. He says, use one word to describe me. And I whisper to my daughter, I said, roller coaster, because his emotions are so up and down. She laughed so hard. She was dying. I'm telling you, she was R-O-F-L. It was the embodiment of R-O-F-L. And he was so, like, not insulted, but the fact that she got that joke so deeply.
It was a real dig into their heart because he's having to finally face the mirror.
Right. Because
someone so innocent and pure. Yes. Who loves him so dearly.
Just thinks that's such a spot on description of him. I just think back and just makes me smile. So there you have it.
There you go.
Anonymous husband who's judging our intros. Well, you don't want to hear about perimenopause and how I couldn't sleep last night after drinking too much. You don't want to hear about that? How I woke up like so sweaty this morning.
Okay, me too.
It's so uncomfortable. And then I wake up just like full of regrets. You know, I was like, why did I take that last shot? You know, I never want to wake up that way. So while, okay, anonymous husband might think we are rambling too long, we do have a friend. I'd say she's like the best friend of one of our very good friends. Mm-hmm. I actually haven't seen her in a long time, but she sent me the most lovely note. She had heard that I didn't have $2 bills for my little one tooth fairy. And so she said she had a bunch of $2 bills sitting around. So she mailed it to me.
That is the nicest thing.
And the note was just so sweet. And she was saying that the podcast, she's added it to her de-stressing list, like her tools to de-stress. She's added our podcast to that. And I was like, really? Because this is not the energy I would use to de-stress. But if we can be helpful to at least one person, that's great.
I think it's because when we listen to ourselves, it feels annoying. But, you know, when you're listening to other people who are kind of in the similar life space as you. And it's like chatting with girlfriends. And I have a friend who also messaged, and it sounds like she's never listened to our pod, which I was also a little bit offended by. But she's like, hey, I started with the boyfriend. And she's like, I smiled the entire way through work. It was so fun. And she had said it was because it was basically an antithesis to the news that she had been listening to. And I was like, yes, we are the antithesis of anything serious and educational.
Or factual.
But it brings a lot of people joy. Yeah. So we will, you know, march on.
Yeah. If you want to hear two airheads talk about nothing, you're in the right place. Speaking of comfort, that takes us to Mr. Plankton, episodes 3 and 4. It's not a comforting 2 episodes because it's just so wild and crazy and there's so much fighting and screaming. But I do see how these two, their relationship, Hijo and Jamie, our two protagonists, are moving along and they are comforts to each other.
Yes, you really see that by the end of episode 4. And I think these two episodes are leading up to showing us why the two of them are so connected.
Yep. Let's start off with Hejo's name. Last week you told me Hejo means seaweed or some kind of plant.
Yeah, it's like some water plant or like, I guess it's plankton.
Definitely plankton parallels. You know, plankton are drifting along in the sea, yes, as this Hejo is drifting on in
life. I did not just make that up, by the way. This was like an internet interpretation that people made, and somebody was like, oh yes, they're drifting, and then they kind of like cling on to, you know, whatever rock that they see. So maybe that's the parallel.
We actually do find out in these episodes that his real name, and it actually has been showing up in the English subtitles. Mm. Whenever he speaks, it says in brackets, Sunghyung. Is that his name?
It's Sunghyuk.
Okay. So I was very confused because they go as Hejo in the show, but the translation of it has his real name. So that is his given name by the parents who abandoned him, we find out. So this, you know, again, he's living kind of this dual life. Like there is a world where he could have been that person, Sunhyuk, where he could have been like maybe a model citizen and living a normal guy's life. He is now on another path. He's on the Hejo path, which is this maniac recklessly drifting along in life and causing all this trouble for everyone. We learn this name in a major flashback, which is how we start episode 3. Hejo he's on his motorbike. He's doing some delivery in the rain. A car turns into him and he crashes. And then the man comes out of the car and it turns out they're face to face and it's
his dad, the one who raised him, not his biological father. And they're staring at each other and his father says, Sunyoga, his real name. Hejo says, that's not my name. I'm Hejo. And the dad hands him a card from this company called I Am Your Father. Mm-hmm. And he's the
CEO. Am your pada.
I am your pada. And he is the CEO there. And I don't know what is the premise of this company, because what had happened was Hejo was previously watching TV and he saw a commercial of this company. I am your pada.
Luke.
What is this, Darth Vader?
I am your pada. Yeah, so I think we might find out what it is that his dad's company is now that he's actually the father to a young girl.
Yeah, and her name is Sung Ah, so they share the same like first character. But the irony, you know, he's the CEO of a company named I Am Your Pada. And then Hejo says, well, I'm an errand. I run errands. And he hands him his card.
And he says, I do everything but look for missing people. Because he is a boy who ran away.
Right.
He is a voluntary missing person. And he's basically saying, like, if you want to run away, you probably have a good reason.
Exactly.
I'm not going to go force you back into a life you don't want. It's a very sad moment. And of course, it's raining.
It's raining.
And of course, Jamie, out of nowhere, comes and hands him an umbrella from behind and holds his hand. This is their meet cute.
And very similar to the scene that we saw in episode 1, where he handed her an umbrella in the rain from behind.
The sales of umbrellas in Korea are predominantly to these dramas, because every single one has an umbrella in the rain. He is bloodied. He's emotionally battered. She's very happy-go-lucky. She wraps her little handkerchief around his hand. I was like, Girl, that's not even where he's bleeding. His arm is bleeding. Like, what are you wrapping? Oh, God. These meet cutes are so contrived. That's how they meet.
Yeah, but
that's,
I mean, if you met some hot guy on the street and he wrapped the wrong area, would you be like, what is wrong with you?
It's my hand. Stupid handkerchief. This ain't doing anything. I need pressure applied. We're back in real time. They're still at candidate dad number one's house. They're sleeping there for the night. She keeps trying to sneak out. He keeps trying to keep her. At some point, he ties up her wrists to a table. It's like, this is getting like borderline abusive.
Out of control. This storyline, I mean, the whole drama to me is just outrageous. Albeit entertaining, it's such an interesting tactic that they're going so, taking the unrealistic route. I guess it's escapism for some people.
It's unrealistic, but it's also just not cool what's going on. I mean, like, Hejo is just causing a ruckus everywhere he goes. He thinks this restaurant owner might be his dad. He gets in the middle of their family business. He's in a fight with everybody. He acts without thinking. They're just fighting in this middle of this restaurant. Jamie helps him get out of this fight by pretending her belly hurts. I think this is a turning point for her in the story because the fact that she's willing to save his ass,
yeah,
and get him out of trouble really still shows that she cares for him.
I think also as an orphan, she probably has a very soft spot for him because she's now realizing that he's on a mission to find his padre. Right. And so when she knows this is the reason that they're here, I think it softens her.
Meanwhile, everyone else is descending on Namwon, this town, looking for our leads. The gangster and his crew are driving over there, and these caricatures are so funny. One guy is literally holding an axe. Like, he's gonna chop a tree. One has a machete. They all have their, like, little kitchen knives, you know, ready to fight. I was just thinking how dangerous it is to hold an unsheathed knife in a car.
Yeah. Yeah. You have a bumpy stop or a bumpy road.
You're just cutting yourself. Yeah.
Into yourself.
I did get my knives sharpened recently.
Yes.
I know you love to sharpen your knives.
What do you mean? I love to sharpen my knives. What, you want to live with dull knives? Every time my husband and I come here, we're like, oh my gosh, they need to sharpen their knives. They suck.
I know.
I mean, but they're like, good knives.
Yeah, they're really good.
I have not sharpened them. But what are you getting at? So I love to sharpen my knives, and
I'm just saying it's one of those things that you like don't know until you know. Like when you live with dull knives, you're just like, oh, this is how knives are.
Right.
And then you sharpen them, and you're like, no, there's another world we could live in where knives are sharp, and I can slice through a cucumber without having to saw at it.
Well, you're very lucky because it turns out that your new neighbor across the street is a knife sharpener. So there's no more excuse.
He just has it set up in his garage. It's amazing.
Was he like, how have you guys been living with these knives?
He definitely came out and was like, they had chips in them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because my husband just willy-nilly, I don't know, just like.
What's he doing?
I don't know. His mother also thinks she's some kind of knife sharpener. Well,
so we had another neighbor friend bring their knives too, and we met them there. And they said, the husband was like, oh, my mother-in-law's here, so I've been hiding these knives.
Yeah, she thinks she's some kind of like butcher.
Master chef.
Yeah, she takes that like rod, that steel rod thing.
Oh.
And she's scrape, 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 scrape. Oh. She thinks she's sharpening it, and I have these beautiful Japanese knives, and they're like chipped. But now I have sharp knives. I will not be carrying them unsheathed in a car like these gangsters. They've got the lackey with them. The lackey's got the phone tracker, so that's how they know where Hejo is. And so they're coming into this town.
And then meanwhile, Tammy's fiance, former fiance, is on a hunt to find her. And he believes that she's been kidnapped. So he has descended onto this town because he got a voicemail from Timmy saying she's here. Just as he gets to the restaurant, when the gangsters get there, the police also arrive.
And they all get locked up together. Before that, he spent all day printing out photos of her and pasting it all over town as a missing person. He's also arguing at the police station, and they're kind of treating him like a joke. I dislike this character so much.
The husband.
This pathetic the
fiance.
Fiance. Yeah. I'm hoping that his arc will be he's, you know, so pathetic and sad. And the arc for him is that he's actually going to like come to some realizations about himself and what he's actually looking for in life and love. But yeah, I could not stand a scene with this guy.
He's so sad. Then the fiance runs off with the cop car
to chase Hejo and Jimmy, who are in the Jeep driving away.
Yes. They end up in a face-off at some country field. And he's able to take the taser from the cop's car that he's stolen. He's trying to tase Hegel, but of course, he doesn't know how to operate it. And he ends up tasing himself and passing out.
Jamie is so distraught and she's just screaming at Hedgeau and like pounding her fists on him on his chest, like a very drama thing to do. And then, you know, he gets his headache. Ooh. And then just conk, passes out, dead to the world. It's at this point in episode 3, I wrote down, what the mother F is going on? It feels like every character is in a different drama. Hedgeau is in like a sad orphan drama. Jimmy is in like a real mellow where like the women wail and like are constantly screaming and crying. The gangsters are in a comedy. The mother-in-law is in a period piece. The dumb fiance is back in It's Okay Not to Be Okay, where he plays a guy with autism. Like, it's just, oh my God, all these different dramas are wrapped up in these two episodes.
That's why I find the K-drama phenomenon quite interesting, because this erratic type of storyline would not fly in America. It would end up on like Hallmark
CW. Channel. CW.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah, CW actually would be right. Like One Tree Hill.
One Tree Hill. I do think that it gives a little bit for everybody. This is like jambalaya. This is like sirigi.
What is sirigi? That's trash?
Trash. What is that trash soup? That stew that you get, yes, when you're drinking. It just has a little bit of everything. A little. You want some spam? You want
Pude some jjigae.
Pude jjigae.
It's not trash. It's called army stew.
You know, but like, you want
trash
a little
soup.
You want a little spam? Like, you want veggies? You want noodles? Like, it's all in here. This is the pude jjigae of dramas. After the field, we do have to say goodbye to the Jeep that they've been traveling in. Mm-hmm. And this is another moment of, I love a guy in a...
Oh, here we go.
A Jeep Wrangler?
Oh, well, yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
That's like the hottest car.
That
right?
was the car I wanted in high school, mm-hmm, because, yes, it was so hot.
It's also a cool girl car.
A cool girl car, cool, very sexy guy car, yes, like leaning out the window.
Oh, there is a scene in To All the Boys I've Ever Loved Before, the Jenny Han book, that's YA book that's been turned into a Netflix series. And Peter Kavinsky has a Jeep Wrangler because, of course, he's the hot guy. Yes. And he is standing there picking her up outside her house.
Oh, my gosh.
He's picking up Covey. And that moment, you're just like, how could a teenage girl not fall for, yeah, Peter Kavinsky with that, yeah, car?
That's the boy I'm saying stay away from. Mm-hmm. But if it was me, I'm getting in.
Finally, I love a guy who that you agree with.
The bat was definitely a little suspicious.
Although I have sat in the back of a boy's Jeep Wrangler before. What do you mean? Why are you looking at me like crazy?
Okay.
This is back in college. Guy?
Wait, back in college? Oh my gosh. Was this the hottest guy in town?
Oh my gosh. And so him and his bro were in the front. I was in the back. We were going snowboarding up in Tahoe.
And then your hair was a disaster.
I mean, it's awful back, yeah, there. It is.
It's so bumpy. Actually, that's also because I begged my dad for a Jeep Wrangler. And he's like, it is a dangerous car. You are not getting that.
Literally the worst car to drive in, but so hot outside. Do you think we think it's so hot? Like, have we been conditioned by Barbie and Ken?
Yeah, and I think there is this idea that like really strong men who will like take us and, you know, like will protect us. That's the image.
Oh, interesting. The other car, and this is going to age us, is that Toyota 4Runner from when we were in high school.
Yes. So you know our type. We were definitely not the Acura spoiler car.
I mean, my high school boyfriend drove a Sienna minivan, so, you know.
Okay. So you had a fantasy, yes, and then there was reality.
Anyway.
My high school boyfriend had a Beamer, of course.
Of course. Not surprised.
So Chami's fiance, what's his name? Oh, he ends up in jail, and then they say, someone's going to come pick you up. And then they flash to this guy named John Na at the airport with the passport.
My husband thought this was so funny.
Did he? See, this is also the difference between Korean humor and American humor.
But the problem is a non-Korean doesn't understand why it's funny because it's a play on words.
Right? It's a play on words. They don't really explain it. So the word 존나 is also a very bad word. It's a word that would replace like fucking. Like, oh, that's so fucking delicious. But again, Korea is quite conservative. So like outside of young people, it's not commonly used. But they love to slip these things in as like almost like a teenage boy joke, right? So his name is John Na, Chon Na. And then he's apparently is going to come pick up Eun.
But the mother-in-law, she's such a gangster boss herself because she gets on the phone and she goes, you know, Korean. And then she goes, hey, John. I was dying. This actress is amazing. I mean, she's in everything,
she's
too.
She's in everything.
This is she always plays the mother, but like always a strong mother.
Well, what else would she play, I guess?
Yeah, I guess. Episode 4, Haejo wakes up hidden amongst some flowers in a field. He walks a little bit and finds Jamie by the river. She's sitting there knowing he can find her. It's like she wants him to find her and not leave her alone. We see that to hide him in the weeds, she just dragged his body into the grass. I'm like, you know, maybe this guy needs a CT scan. If somebody just passed out in front of me and is like bleeding from their nose, I'd be like, I think a hospital is in order.
Right. But she didn't seem like the type that would be urgently looking for a doctor at this point.
She's coming to terms with her situation. Fiance ends up at the police station. She calls him from outside from a payphone. Like, why, girl? You know, why are you torturing this boy?
Yeah.
Just go in and explain yourself.
Be upfront. And what we saw at the beginning of episode 4 is it turns out to be a flashback. They show Eun kneeling before his mother and the elders of his village. It's, of course, raining. He's in his
wife beater.
What?
And undies.
Can't say that word anymore. But it's pouring on it. You know, oh, you like wet t-shirts? You got your wet t-shirt moment right there? And he's getting berated because he wants to be with Jimmy. This was a turning point for Jimmy because Haejo was like, you know, what happened to you? You became such a wuss. And she explains that she wanted to be a part of Eun's family because there was a lot of happiness. She wanted to have a big family. And then she was worried that she would destroy the family by bringing in her misery. So maybe she feels that she's almost fated to be with somebody like Haejo.
Right. That they deserve, yeah. They deserve each other. He's at that point in a red Adidas tracksuit. And I am loving this tracksuit on him. It's a very Squid Game. Finally, we see Jon Na show up.
And then did you hear the cop? He goes, Jon Na charisma.
This actor is half Korean, half Italian. He's American. He's been on Grey's Anatomy. So he doesn't speak, if you notice, the entire episode.
Is it because he can't speak Korean?
I think so. It's got to be.
Actually, one of my cousins many years ago, before it was really common to have more American people on, he was cast in a Korean drama and told not to speak because he can't speak. And so he was a silent, I think he was a runner in the drama, but he wasn't allowed to say anything.
Right. And you don't have to pay somebody as much, union rules, if they don't speak.
Yeah.
But it just makes this guy kind of weird. Like, I think they're trying to make him seem mysterious because he doesn't speak, but it makes me feel like he's a mute. And actually doesn't have the ability to speak. So,
right. Well, I mean, at least speak in English.
Or just hire a good-looking hapa who can speak Korean. That's not
there
that
hard.
There
have to be so many of them.
Yes. John Na's value add here is that he has compiled a dossier of what Jamie and Haejo have been up to. Breaking his poor heart, this dumb fiance sees that actually his abducted wife is kind of just chilling with Haejo.
And they're smiling,
eating,
having dates.
Jimmy is now fully on board with Haejo. She's realized she can't go back. She only has to move forward. And so why not go on this trip with Haejo and help him find his father? So they're on a train to Busan. He doesn't tell her he's sick, but she's catching on with like small clues. I mean, he is definitely getting sicker and sicker. He's definitely vomiting and getting these headaches. In a true style of a guy who's going to die soon, he takes all his money out, puts it in a duffel bag, and they go into the trope of the makeover montage through a Busan market. They're trying things on, hats on, glasses. Do these look cute? We get that montage. So they're just having some peaceful, happy times.
I mean, let me ask you again. If you were at the edge of life, knowing you don't have a lot of time, would you be go searching for your biological parent?
I really don't see the point.
I don't either. This person doesn't even know you exist, did not want to bring you into the world. I would be like, I'm taking this money and I'm going to Paris.
Yeah, like what is he searching for with this person?
He's going to blame this person for giving him the brain tumors.
Mm-hmm. I think he's just so desperate for that connection, and he was so rejected because of this blood that's running through him that he's hoping that what he missed from his father that he grew up with, he can find with this real father. Potential father nominee number two, he's a hermit who lives in the mountains. He's doing weird, sneaky burial things. He looks very menacing. But Jamie, just kind of being the light, bubbly person that's like almost the opposite of Hijo, she breaks him down. She's so cute. They like dance together in the living room. She bonds with him over potato and mushrooms. It's very sweet.
And of course, we're only on episode 4, so we know this is not the father. But both of them express, at least Jamie and this sperm donor are expressing their wishes to be in each other's lives. Like, oh, I wish you were his father. He was so menacing when they first met him. I was like, oh, he's going to murder them. He's going to try to murder them tonight.
The entire time, still after they were like became friends, I was still just like, you guys are going to get hacked up in the middle of the night.
He had just like the turn he made from being menacing to really sweet was too quick.
I didn't really like Jamie up until this point because she's been so wailing and emotional and kind of making poor decisions and
she's quite wishy-washy. There's nothing about her that feels really firm.
Yeah, like very spineless.
Yes.
She's not the female protagonist we like in a drama, but her charm really comes through in these scenes with this candidate number two.
I will say that last scene is what made me more interested in the drama when they were talking about the mushroom and the potato and how both of them are essentially lost and abandoned people. And she's laughing about it because, you know, some people cope by laughing. And he says to her, just cry.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
And she does. And, you know, I'm just a sensitive softy at the heart of it. And when I see people being people and humans feeling deep emotions, it draws me closer to them and to a storyline. So I was like, okay, I think I can see myself continuing on this journey with them.
She cries at night. He comforts her. And we end the episode with him having some kind of like headache.
He was comforting her from behind. And you see he has his hand balled up behind his neck and he's sweating profusely. So it's progressively getting worse and more frequent.
So yeah, that's what we get from episodes 3 and 4. A lot of hijinks, but Hijo totally loves her. That's how I felt at the end of these two. Like, I don't support this abduction. Ultimately, he was trying to, in his like misguided way, trying to get her to see that the life she was signing up for wasn't one that was going to make her happy and that she was not the person who could lie.
Yeah, I think seeing their relationship makes me realize that her and Ohung were imbalanced and he didn't know her. He probably was putting a lot of expectation and burden on her that she couldn't handle. But I do feel bad for the guy.
I do, but he's so pathetic. He's so pathetic that it's hard for me to feel bad.
But he was
for him.
So kind to Jeonna.
Yes.
Right? Did you see
to everybody. Actually.
He was massaging in between his thumb and pointer finger. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, that's for your stomach.
Yeah, for when you're like indigestion, you do that. And then
It really works.
It works. I get
just list your ailments. Just what do you have? I get
motion sickness very easily.
Oh, didn't know that was
but
coming.
When I do that, when I do the massage in between those fingers, it helps me relieve. I start burping a lot.
Oh, good God.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Wait, have you ever tried those glasses? Those really
No, but you know, glasses? I used to commute down on a shuttle bus and our friend who also worked at the same company said she got them because she also got motion sickness on them. So I was so tempted and then she said they don't work.
Oh, really? Yeah, I don't know if you guys know what we're talking about. They're like circular glasses that are like white and they've got water in them. And so there's something about the shifting of the water.
It's supposed to kind of rebalance your whatever.
Whatever
it whatever it is. That's off
motion sickness. My big question is he totally loves her. She obviously loves him. is it fair? He's getting her to fall back in love with him when he's so sick. Like, he knows he's going to die, but he's clearly bringing her back into his orbit for his emotional needs, but not for hers alone. Yeah.
I mean, he's selfish. He's doing this because he needs a companion.
Right.
And he's too scared to do it alone.
That was episodes 3 and 4. We have 5 and 6 coming up. This drama is so unpredictable and weird that just no clue what's coming. It makes it very exciting. Thank you guys for listening. Be well this week, and we will talk to you soon.
Bye.